Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
How many of you have ever felt personally victimized by
C.B. Buckner?
He struck him out, and the White Sox win the game.
Not even close.
You gotta be kidding me.
Let's get into it, coming up on B-Shafe Daily. What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of B-Shafe Daily. Brendan Schaefer here with you. It is Sunday morning, May 5th, 2024. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, I'm actually recording this in the morning. If you saw the post on YouTube last night, Saturday night, I finally hit the wall. I could not do it. I could not record before I went to bed last night. So I slept and am awake now in the morning and talking about last night's Cardinals game. It was yesterday afternoon, but it extended into last night because of the most bizarre rain delay scenario that I have ever seen. I can never remember one being this strange, this anxiety-inducing when you think about how close they were to finishing that game, and former Cardinal John Brebbia basically saying, I'm not throwing this baseball. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. The rain was coming down at Busch Stadium. They knew it was only going to be a pop-up storm, like that particular storm. We know that they kept putting the tarp back on after taking it off later because of additional rain. But I think the thought was, this one's going to be over quickly. It would be a shame if we have to stop the thing, because then it's going to be on and off for a little while, and it's going to take us some time. But by making the decision they made to delay, it ended up taking even longer, I think, because they had to spend 30, 40 minutes trying to clean up the field, and then by that time, more rain had come into the area. So it took a while to finish the game up last night. You wait all that time. No fans really stayed around, which I can't blame them. It was just really bizarre circumstance and an anticlimactic ending if you've ever seen one. Yvonne Herrera pinch hitting for Nolan Gorman, takes strike three, and I won't say it was on the outside corner because it wasn't. It was a ball. It was several inches off the plate. And just when you think a C.B. Buckner game is not going to become a true C.B. Buckner game, it still happens in the final breath as he rings up Yvonne Herrera. Cardinals lose it 6-5, despite having the bases loaded with nobody out to begin that inning, despite a Nolan Arenado homer in the game, and despite some pretty good pitching out of the bullpen yet again, after Lance Lynn had another kind of, I would say a rough Lance Lynn version of what he's able to provide. I'll talk about why I feel that is and how it's not necessarily a brand new thing. His ERA for the season is 3.28, but I've been noticing sort of the bugaboo with Lance Lynn since day one. Not that I'm able to do anything to help him fix it. I'm no pitching coach, but it's not some big secret. He just doesn't throw enough strikes when he's not really locked in with his command. The movement on his pitches, I've talked about this before, but the movement on his pitches, he throws a bunch of different fastballs that cut, dart, dive in different directions. And it's almost like magnetism to 2 inches off the strike zone, off the plate, inside or outside. The movement, he has not been in the strike zone enough to my eye. And I think that cost him in this one, because the two walks that he gave up before leaving the game without recording an out in the sixth inning ended up coming around to score against Andrew Kittredge, who was not charged with an earned run, but the hit that he gave up ends up allowing two runs to score, and that's how they tied the game. Cardinals had a 5-3 lead. So I think Lance Lynn's been okay this year for the Cards so far, but I think you are also hoping for a little more of that innings eater mentality, and it's been the strike percentage that has cost him the ability to do that so far for the Cardinals. 94 pitches in the game on Saturday, 53 strikes. I just don't think that's quite high enough of a strike percentage. The percent there is 56.4 strikes, and I just think he needs to be, what do folks normally have? I don't know, 65% seems like a decent number. You take away one of those walks, and the Cardinals probably win the game. It's not that three is a crazy, abnormal, overwhelming number. For only five innings, you can't have that as your walk rate for the season. But three walks in a game is not, it's not the end of the world. But I think it where they came in this one for Lynn, it did cost the Cardinals. And it cost him the ability to again, get deep into the contest and be the innings eater that the Cardinals were hoping to see him beat. Now, I have been keeping you updated on this, but I believe even after yesterday's start, there has only been one Lance Lynn quality start this season, one game in which he has even recorded an out in inning number six. It was that game in Oakland on April 16th. So he's made seven starts for the Cardinals, but only one time has he even recorded an out in the sixth inning. It's not that he's been terrible. A 3.28 ERA is probably more than most would have asked of Lance Lynn, but I also think the other side of that is he could be the bulldog that gets you into the seventh inning more often than not, and we just haven't seen that from him yet. And again, the timeliness of the walks yesterday was a little bit tough. But Lance Lynn was not the main priority or topic of conversation after yesterday's game when you consider the multi-hour rain delay that happened long after he finished pitching in the game. So let's talk about the circumstances of how we got to the end there. But before I do that even, I want to talk about what happened at the bitter end, but specifically from my perspective and why initially I sent a tweet. Well, I sent a tweet that I thought was a little harsh. Let me be clear. I did not realize that this was a bad call at first. And you might say, well, how is that even possible? I'll explain. I covered the pregame at Busch Stadium yesterday, but I was not at the game covering the game itself. Had I been, let's be honest, I probably would have left during the rain delay because I had stuff I was committed to going on during the evening. As it was, I just went for the pregame, came home, and we had a Cinco de Mayo sort of gathering with some friends at our house. And we were on the back patio. My buddy Thomas had his phone out. We were just waiting because, you know, how many hours? Kept getting the updates about when it was going to restart. It didn't. Here's the next update. It's going to be 7:30. Okay. Pulls out his phone, and we're watching. And he's got it in vertical mode. So you picture when you're watching a sporting event on one of those apps and you don't turn the phone sideways for full screen. So vertical mode, we're watching this on like a 1-inch by 2-inch screen, essentially, with the volume off. Because if the volume had been on, I would have heard Jim Ebbins almost say the F word on the air when he reacted to the strike three call by C.B. Buckner. You heard that after the Mean Girls clip at the beginning of the podcast here. I threw in some Danny Mac saying C.B. Buckner just for fun. We're 7 minutes and 30 seconds into the podcast, so you can scroll back and then pop right back to this part if you missed it. But yeah, I thought Edmonds, it was obvious, right? The reaction from the broadcasters. And so, pretty dumb, my bad, when I send that tweet. First, I sent a tweet, like I said, that was more harsh. Deleted it because I was like, you know, I don't need to be crazy hot take guy. And I also know Ivan Herrera is on Twitter, too. And I was like, all right, that's a little bit harsh. He's going to look at that and go, what's wrong with this guy? So that's my fault. But then I still ended up sending a tweet that said, gotta swing it, is all I said. And got 50 replies going, you moron. Ball was 4 inches off the plate. And it was. And so I sent a tweet that was bad. It wasn't the first time, and it will certainly not be the last time. But then I had some fun replying to people. Life's too short for me to care about that. Like, I did. I'll own it. That was my bad. I explained how it happened. I did volume off. Watching on a potato. Sorry, Thomas. He even tried to turn it horizontal, but then it's like you're waiting 5 hours for maybe two or three pitches. You don't want to miss it by freezing the app or something, turning the phone horizontal in the one moment where they're actually playing baseball again. So anyway, it happened, and I kind of got a kick out of that because I was like, yep, I was definitely wrong, and people were like ready to burn me at the stake from a tweet. Anyway, It was a bad call. And it's C.B. Buckner behind the plate. You knew we could have fireworks. I thought the fireworks would be with Lance Lynn on the mound, the guy who can get a little ornery and was infamously tossed by Angel Hernandez, not only from the pitcher's mound in the game, but the one in the bullpen during spring training, trying to just get his work in as he built up toward the season. That was probably one of the most memorable moments from the spring training Grapefruit League season this year. And so you figure, all right, Lance Lynn on the mound, C.B. Buckner behind the plate, doing a little bit of math here. You know, Ollie's history with C.B. Buckner, too. Like, this could have gone off the rails way earlier than it did, if we're being totally honest. So the fact that everything was good till the end, but, boy, you're going to wait, I don't know how many hours it was, 3-4 hours, whatever it ended up being, of a rain delay, and have that be the way that the game ends? What is it? I mean, just what do you get out of that if you're C.B. Buckner? And I guess the next thought would be, well, he's not doing it on purpose. He's just bad at his job. But as we know, there's no recourse for being bad at your job if you're a Major League Baseball umpire. Nothing happens to you if you are wrong. You don't even have to apologize, especially with ball strike calls, because they can say, oh, it's subjective. Even though if you draw a line where the plate is vertically, that pitch was not within the line. It wasn't even, no seam of the baseball was even remotely adjacent to what the strike zone would be. So it was a bad call, and the four people who waited around at Busch Stadium, let me know, if you're listening to this on Sunday and you stayed the whole way at Busch, first question is why, but second question is just what you think. What you think of an ending like that after all the waiting that you did? Take the bat out of the hands of Ivan Herrera with a bad strike three call, and the Cardinals lose it 6-5. Just brutal, man. And this, look, we said at the beginning of the series against Chicago that this White Sox team is so bad, you need to sweep them. You need to get a sweep here. 2 out of 3 would not be satisfying enough. And now they're going into Sunday, where 2 out of 3 is the best case scenario outcome. So the Cardinals need to win this baseball game on Sunday, first of all. And I don't know how that's going to work when you consider the bullpen game is the approach here, and you used up a decent chunk of your bullpen yesterday. It's a curious decision. We'll get into it as it pertains to Matthew Liberatore, unless they think he's built up to go 5 innings, but I just don't know with the role that he's been in if that makes a whole lot of sense.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
And you feel a lot better about it if you won Saturday's game, but they announced a decision after Saturday's game that it's going to be Libby on Sunday. And I didn't cover the game, so I don't have any audio to bring you of how that decision was rationalized by Ollie Marmol postgame. But I will say this, you'll probably get some tweets from beat writers on Sunday morning. Won't be there today, but you'll get some tweets with maybe a little more of an explanation from the Cardinals on the decision, because last night I was told that Ollie just sort of stonewalled with the same repetitive answer, Matthew Liberatore will be our starter, and was maybe asked, okay, what about pitch count? Matthew Liberatore will be our starter. How deep can he go? Matthew Liberatore will be our... I think that's sort of the way it went, but I don't know for sure, because Bally Sports Midwest tweeted 26 seconds of the postgame of the Ollie Marmol podium interview. So I don't know what happened. I wasn't there, and wasn't watching live on TV when they aired more of it. But they just, very short clip, which tells me probably they thought not a very compelling post-game interview from Ollie, which is why they didn't choose to share. That's just the editorial decision there that was made on Twitter or social media as far as what they share. Typically, you get a few minutes of it, and this was just a snippet. So that's why I don't know and don't have for you any ability to even tell you what exactly went down there. But that was coming off of a really harsh loss, and in order to just probably get through the interview without catching a fine himself, Ollie Marmol just played it pretty straight and said, it's going to be Libby. That's the information I have. And maybe today the mood will be a little bit different and they can perhaps get into it a little bit. But it also could be a competitive angle where he doesn't necessarily want the White Sox to game plan and know how long to expect Libby to go. If they say, yeah, it's 50 pitches, that White Sox team is going to be trying to grind counts and foul off pitches and work into deeper counts. So, which is something they should be doing anyway, right? But there's just no need, the extra incentive that they could get. So maybe that's the angle. Maybe it's not. And we find out within an hour what the pitch count target is going to be for Matthew Liberatore. But he is going to make the start. We'll get into that a little bit more before the end of the episode. But let's cut back to the rain delay. Let's start with how it began with John Brebbia basically taking matters into his own hands and deciding we're not going to finish this game before this field gets taken care of. Cardinals have the bases loaded and nobody out in the 10th. And this is really where the game is lost. It felt like the Cardinals were going to lose it. That's what everybody on Twitter seemed to think. Even as this rain delay was getting going, they said, oh, why bother? You know, Nolan Gorman's batting and he's really been struggling. So it's probably going to end in a strikeout. But what people did not, which, by the way, in fairness to Gorman, he didn't get a hit in the game, but he did have a couple of walks. And a walk there would have meant a run. But the rain delay happening allows the White Sox to have the edge in a little game of poker that happens where they can go, all right, we're going to spend some time thinking about who's going to pitch because it's not going to be John Brebbia 3 hours from now. You know, you wouldn't bring him back out there. So they go with a lefty, which mid at bat flips Herrera around, and he's a righty. So that's the matchup the Cardinals get, but the base is loaded. The bases were loaded with nobody out. Cardinals got a break on a little infield single, or if they called it an error, whatever the case was, to load things up. And I thought, man, that's the break that you need. It was a fielder's choice. Alec Burleson reached on a fielder's choice as they were unable to get any of the outs there. And everybody was safe. Arenado had a base knock to begin the inning. Man, you might wish that Paul Goldschmidt could have read that better and tried to test the center fielder. And when I saw it was Goldschmidt making the final out in the ninth, which again, that was an opportunity to win the game right there. After Jose Fermin stole second base, you just need a hit, and the Cardinals win it 6-5 instead of losing it 6-5. But that doesn't happen, and so that means he is the automatic runner at second to begin the 10th inning. White Sox score their run in the top of the 10th. You just got to get the run home. You get a free guy on second base to begin an inning. You have to get a run home. Yes, C.B. Buckner blew it with the call that he made after the long rain delay. The Cardinals should have already figured out a way to score a run by then. That's what's frustrating. Because you get the hit by Arenado, the fielder's choice gets Burleson on. Newt Barr strikeout swinging, Mason Wynn strikeout swinging, Herrera called out on strikes after the rain delay. That cannot happen for teams that are serious about competing, are serious about contending. I'm just saying what it is. I don't, you know, you just can't have too many of those types of losses throughout a season. It already feels like the Cardinals have had a couple few. And the more you pile up, you're going to win some games too. But to let a game like this get out of hand really, really leaves a taste in your mouth. And then you're going with a bullpen game effectively on Sunday. And look, if they want to take Liberatore and stretch him out and he's going to join the rotation, if it looks good, then there are reasons to think that that's an interesting choice. There's intrigue to that choice. And I'll talk about why in a minute. But the timing of it here is going to be pretty tricky. In a game where if you lose this one, you lost a series to the worst team in baseball. In your home ballpark, that team was 1-13 coming in, and you just used the triumvirate, Kittredge, Romero, and Helsley, to try and secure this game. the day after you used Romero and Helsley to win game one. So Romero, Helsley have gone two games in a row. They're probably unavailable for Sunday. Andrew Kittredge threw two innings, so you'd be surprised if he would go back-to-back. That's the combo that you really want to avoid to make sure you're keeping guys healthy and strong. They can go back-to-back. They can throw multiple innings. Asking them to do both can be tricky on a guy's arm. You don't want the workload and the frequency. You kind of need to pick one or the other, is typically the thought there. So I would venture to guess that Sunday the whole triumvirate of JoJo, Kittredge, Helsley is going to be down for the count. Ryan Fernandez threw an inning in the 10th, was able to avoid giving up any earned runs. We know the run that scored was the one that came on the automatic runner starting the inning from second base. I don't really know what the bullpen in its entirety is going to look like in this one, and you're starting a guy who has not been in your rotation. He has in the past, but this year, post-spring training, Matthew Liberatore has not been asked to be that guy. He has been in your bullpen, throwing usually just one inning. He did have the three-inning appearance on April 28th against the Mets, which was that extra inning game, and he ended up giving the homer to end the game. Other than that, though, it's just been shorter stints. The only other true multi-inning performance where he went two innings or more was in Los Angeles back in March, first series of the season. Otherwise, it's been inning and a third, inning and two-thirds, two-thirds of an inning, one inning, those types of outings for Liberatore. The largest pitch count he's thrown on the season was 47. That was in March. And the game against the Mets, he threw 38 pitches. He was very effective until he wore down a little bit at the end, but that's the thing. If he threw three innings and then started to wear down, and that's why he gives up the homer to Mark Vientos in that game to end it, how many innings can you reasonably expect from him today? And that's the choice you make. Originally, the Cardinals said it was going to be Steven Matz's spot showing up on Tuesday with Gibson going today and Michaelis on Monday, but they've bumped that back to now Gibson Monday, Michaelis Tuesday, bringing the original Steven Matz spot back to Sunday, which will be filled by Liberatore. Is this going to be beyond today? Are they going to bring up a starter for the next one? Because I really just wouldn't understand that. If that's the way they're going to do it, that doesn't make any sense to me. This suggests to me, if you're going to do it with Libby, it's because you're going to build him up and let him be that spot moving forward, or at least have a crack at it. Because if that's not what you're doing, it's kind of weird to make this decision. If it's just, yeah, we're going to go Libby and then we'll figure it out next week and we'll bring somebody up. Now would have been the time to bring somebody up. You could have had Sam Roberta on turn for Tuesday. He's on the 40-man. Gordon Graceffo is not, but you could have found a way to delay him and make sure he was ready to go. And then when you switch it to Sunday, it seemed Adam Klopfenstein would be the answer because he's on turn from AAA and is on the 40-man roster. They don't make him the option either. I think Tink Hentz actually would have been on turn for Sunday. And I had it suggested to me, and I shot it down. But then it was a little curious to see Bally Sports Midwest do a Tink Hens package during the game yesterday. I thought, man, do they know something that we don't know? But they didn't. Not Tink Hens as the answer for Sunday from AA. That would have been pretty aggressive, but would have injected some excitement. But again, I think a little reckless. And so they don't do that. But for it to be Liberatore, again, if it's Liberatore for just one and then you figure it out later, why not just get the person up that you would have considered, whether it was Klopfenstein or Roberts or whoever it might have been, make sure that Matz's spot goes on that day that the guy who you want can pitch, because they had some flexibility after last Thursday's off day to reshuffle the deck of the starters if they wanted to. Originally, they said they were going to, and then they changed their mind and took it back and said Sunday would still be the Matz day that needs filling. But you're coming up on a week where you don't have an off day. The Cardinals have had these off days on Thursdays pretty regularly throughout the early portion of the schedule, which has allowed for them to have that flexibility and to be, honestly, a little more aggressive with their bullpen in the way that they approach it. But this time, you're going to start a longer series in Milwaukee on Thursday, no off day, between the end of the Mets series on Wednesday and that game Thursday in Milwaukee. So the Cardinals are going to have to be aware of not having that parachute, that safety valve, to unlock and get some rest for their bullpen on Thursday, which has been the case every time so far this season, every week. But now, you don't have that, and it's coming after a day where you used up your best bullpen pieces, and they're probably unavailable. So you're going into this long stretch of games with a bullpen game at the front end of it. That feels a little bit dangerous. We'll see. Maybe Libertor can go 70 pitches for some reason, even though he's only thrown 38 as his maximum in the last month. And if he goes 70 and is efficient, maybe that's five innings and it's no big deal. I think on paper, this has a chance to be a little bit rough on Sunday if the offense doesn't get it going.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And the offense at least did do some things that we liked to see on Saturday. Nolan Arenado hitting homers is everything for this team. It has to continue, and it's great that it happened. And we did say, if Arenado turns it on, you're going to look up and suddenly his numbers are going to be there. And that's what happened after one singular game yesterday when he goes 3-for-3, hits the three-run homer, and he also walked twice. His OPS is 770. It's basically what he finished with last year. He's back to being fine. It's got to continue because Goldschmidt is not back, contrary to what I may have thought a few days ago. 596 is the OPS now for Goldie. He was 0 for 5 yesterday, and again, having it happen in a clutch spot is rough. But he was far from alone. Burleson, 0 for 5. So we say, hey, Burley's at least hitting it well. He was, but now he's back down to a 635 OPS. Nupar, 0 for 5. Nupar's been one of the worst defenders on the team. 162 batting average and a 532 OPS. His OPS is 15 points higher than Michael Ciani. His batting average is 29 points lower than Michael Ciani. So now it's not really a conversation of putting Newton center to boost the offense. He's been a worse hitter than Michael Ciani in some regards. And we know how Michael Ciani's season has gone. It's been tough. Now, we are going to see Dylan Carlson, I believe, activated for Sunday. He's going to be back on the roster. I don't know if the roster move has been announced. I believe Katie reported last night that it was going to be Pedro Páez. So they're going to no longer have that third catcher, which means they do value a couple things. They value Michael Ciani still for his defense, his ability to pinch run late in the game, his ability to bunt if you needed to get a bunt down for whatever reason. There is utility to his spot on the roster, more so than, this is the decision that was made, right? You can measure this, more so than the utility they felt Pedro Páez had as a late-inning defensive replacement for the days where the Cardinals are leading by one or two or three and the starter was Ivan Herrera behind the plate. Those are the two scenarios that had to be true to see Pedro Páez sub into the game defensively in the eighth or ninth. And he wasn't really ever drawing a start because you're trying to always get Contreras' bat in the lineup, whether that's behind the plate or DH. And then Herrera, you're going to have him play a fair bit as well, even though offensively he has tailed off. Páez was kind of squeezed in that regard. I do think it's interesting, though, you're going to need more defensive production from Herrera when he does start. He hasn't thrown out base runners. He's been a little bit shoddy in terms of blocking tough pitches in the dirt behind the plate. We're seeing a lot of Contreras behind the plate lately because the bat has fallen off for Herrera, so he's not playing as much. But that's the decision that was made. They felt Ciani, keep him over Páez because there's more utility to Ciani's role right now than Páez. And more utility to José Fermín's role is the decision that was made. Could that spell less confidence in Brandon Crawford and the potential that we see more Fermín over Crawford in shortstop scenarios moving forward? We'll see if that ends up being the case or not. But Carlson activated. Hopefully he can keep that energy, right? The energy of what he had at the end of spring training where he was hitting home runs left-handed and did it again in a rehab assignment in Charlotte when he was playing for the AAA Memphis Redbirds this past week. Didn't really bat much from the right side against lefties because Charlotte, that AAA team, didn't have any. I think Ollie Marmol said they had one lefty in their bullpen, so it was kind of hard to plot out getting Carlson a live AB against a lefty. But that's aside from the plate where he's always been better anyway, batting right-handed against lefty pitching. So Cardinals don't really worry about that. They're going to activate him. He was in the clubhouse yesterday morning, Dylan was, and they're going to activate him the next day because I think, A, he's probably ready. I asked Ollie defensively, like conditioning-wise, is he good? He said, yeah, everything feels great. They would have liked to have checked that box of some ABs from the right side against lefty pitching, but I assume they found a way to simulate that at the ballpark yesterday. They got eyes on him, and they're saying he's good to go. Let's activate him for Sunday. So that could be a boost getting Dylan Carlson back, but the offense is going to need to carry this thing on Sunday, and hopefully Libby pitches well. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world in general to still be willing to give Libertor a shot as a starter. And I talked about this with the Cat on Friday on Hot Take Central, which is a clip that long video I put on YouTube. If you missed that a couple days ago, click on the video thumbnail picture that has me and the Cat both and Fredbird trying to ruin the live shot of the Cat. I took that photo and put it in the thumbnail. Go listen to that if you want the Cat's reasoning that he gave on Friday morning as to why he wanted to see Matthew Libertor get some consideration for this Steven Matz spot. And I came into that discussion with the Cat thinking, I don't really know. Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it with Libby in the bullpen, right? You're finally getting production out of him. We can stop hearing as much about that Arozarena deal. Even though, look, yeah, you'll never take away the years that Arozarena just terrorized and was rookie of the year and ALCS MVP or whatever it is that he was. You'll never really live that down, Cardinals fans. But if you get something from Libby, you at least are going, all right, we've got some utility for this guy on our team now. You're going to get a whole lot more utility from a high-quality starter than a high-quality reliever, though, and that's always going to be the case. Always, always, always going to be true, but it's easier said than done. You can't just automatically take Libertor, put him in the rotation, and say, do what you were doing in the bullpen, but longer. Go. Ideally, that's what is going to happen here, but it's not guaranteed to work. But the reason that you might consider giving it another opportunity to work is the guy is only 24 years old. How many times have we lamented the Cardinals giving up on a guy too early, not getting a long enough look at a guy, and then he goes somewhere else and has success, or like Jordan Hicks has success in a role where the Cardinals just never really gave him a long enough leash to be able to blossom again as a starter. Those things have happened before in Cardinals baseball recent history, and I feel like if that is the take is, yeah, that's happening too often. Cardinals need to better manage these scenarios moving forward so it doesn't continue to happen. Is Libertor an example of that, and that's why it makes sense to let him start here? Or do you worry about, as I kind of do, looking at the upcoming schedule and knowing what happened in the game on Saturday using the triumvirate for two innings of Kittredge, and then Helsley Jojo was the second day of a back-to-back, so all three of those guys might be burned for Sunday. Do you worry about the state of the bullpen going into a long stretch where you don't have an off day mixed in like you've been comfortable and accustomed to having? That, I think, is the question of the day going into Sunday. Let me know, Cardinals fans, in the comments below what you think about that, whether or not you feel like that's a concern, or if you'd be concerned about Libby even without the consideration of the bullpen and everything going on with the lack of off days and the usage recently for your main relievers. Let me know in the comments below. And by the way, hit the subscribe button on this video if you like Cardinals content all season long. On YouTube, if you haven't subscribed, Brendan Schaefer, St. Louis Cardinals writer for KMOV. I did write an article for KMOV yesterday updating on some injuries. Keenan Middleton is going to be back sooner than later if the progression for him that is going really, really well right now continues. His plan was throw another bullpen Tuesday, throw another one after that on Friday, and then Springfield rehab assignment by next weekend. You know, 6 days from now, that's his hope. Ollie Marmol was asked, hey, this is the plan that Key gave us. What do you think? And he said, well, let's just wait and see and make sure the progression continues on that track. But it seems like if he doesn't have any setbacks, that is going to match the timeline for what happens there. And you figure a couple of rehab outings, he is just only a reliever, so he doesn't have to build up. A couple rehab outings, and you could see by middle of the following week, Keenan Middleton return to the Cardinal bullpen, and they could certainly use him. Because while they have lockdown guys in the 7th, 8th, and 9th, and we think Ryan Fernandez, despite giving up the unearned run yesterday, has done a really nice job, there's been some questions behind that. And now if Libertor is going to the rotation, like Kyle Leahy was supposed to just kind of be just for a second, was going to be on this team just as some extra coverage. And now I guess he's in the bullpen. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening there and the way that they want to handle it. But really, I think in terms of comfort with what his role would be, you really only want him in a scenario where you're trailing heavily and just need to fill some innings. And you also, you don't really want that to be the scenario. You're not rooting for the Kyle Leahy spot to come up in a game unless you're up by 6 or 7 and you're going to pitch him then. But even that feels like tempting fate a little bit just because they don't have a lot of experience with him and he hasn't pitched all that well in AAA. Nick Robertson's going to be leaned on now. He's only thrown like 4 innings for the Cardinals since his call-up. Remember, he came over in the Tyler O'Neill trade, and he's looked good, but how much faith do you have in Nick Robertson in leverage? And we know with Gallegos what's been going on. So there are definitely some questions as to how they're going to move forward with this. And if you're taking Libertor, who's been among, I would have said they had 5 good quality relief pitchers in that 8-man bullpen. If you're taking Libby out of it, what does that look like? You know, now you're down to 4, and can some other guys step up into that role? Well, and Keenan Middleton is the one that you're really hoping to get back soon. And Riley O'Brien, by the way, played catch on Saturday for the first time in a while. Like, that was day one for him. So very, very early in the progression, but at least he did a thing rather than, yeah, he's shut down, they're giving up. Same injury for both guys, I believe. Riley and Keenan Middleton both had the flexor tendon. Keenan got a PRP injection in early April, and he said yesterday he hasn't felt any pain or discomfort or anything post-injection as he's ramped up. Like, it's been, he feels great. And he's a very engaging and personable guy, and so when he talks to you, you really feel like you're getting the straightforward from him. So it would be great for the Cardinals to be able to get him back. They're going to probably need him. But that's what happened, man. C.B. Buckner. Again, mea culpa. I got it wrong in the tweet. I'm not going to go back. I just kind of logged off of Twitter last night after most of that. I made sure to see who was the starter. Libby, okay. Tweeted about that. Then I tweeted a response to somebody who said, what makes this season so bad is Mozeliak forfeited their 2nd-round pick in the upcoming draft. So they picked 7th and 80th. Only 2 picks in the top 100, should have been 2 in the top 50, according to this tweeter, their opinion. But the reason you don't have the number 42 pick is because you signed Sonny Gray. He's pretty good. Cy Young candidate.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
ERA below 1, first time since 1910. Yeah, I'm not going to blame Mozeliak for giving up the number 42 pick to do that. I think you'll take that. He's their best player. I said, notice I didn't say best pitcher. He is their best player. And there's not even a question about that. So that's what's going on. C.B. Buckner blew it. I blew it with my tweet initially. I did not delete the tweet. Like I said, I deleted the first one because I said, your whole job as a pinch hitter is to just swing it. That's brutal. And I was like, okay, Brendan, lay off on Ivan Herrera. And I thought that even before I realized it was an awful call. So I deleted it and just said, gotta swing it. And I got 39 replies. And thank you. I mean, Rena is awesome. One of my best listeners. Shout out to Rena. She just replied, wasn't a strike, right? And she was right that it wasn't a strike. A lot of the other people were like, you moron! Why'd you double down with the bad tweets? People must have saw the first one, but I deleted it again because not because I thought oh, it was a bad call. I changed my mind. I'm just going to change it to got to swing it. I just thought it was, I was like, don't be an ass. Don't be that way. No need. So, and I was wrong anyway. So there you go. A lot of the replies were also just pointing out my mistake. But anyway, it won't be the last time. If you follow me at B Schaefer 12, I can't talk, at B Schaefer 12 on Twitter, you'll see more of those. You'll see more of those bad tweets. But what did you guys think of C.B. Buckner yesterday? Nobody got ejected, at least on the Cardinals side. I can't remember if anybody was ejected on the other side of things for the White Sox. They were getting mad about some different things. He called a ball on the Jose Fermin swipe of second base in the ninth. I think that's what happened. Correct me in the comments if I'm wrong, because I'm not going to go back and look at it. But I think Contreras was up to bat, and he was like, yes, 2-1, right? 2-1 count? Like, he Jedi mind trick C.B. Buckner on the count is what I thought happened from watching at home. But it didn't end up working out for the Cardinals. Really wish Goldschmidt could have come through in that spot after the Contreras A.B., to be able to just bring it home. Bring it home without all the... You wouldn't have had extra innings in the first place. You wouldn't have had rain delay. You wouldn't have had any of that. Contreras has to take his walk in that spot if he's not seeing strikes. You figured that Kopech was not going to throw him anything to hit. It's funny, if you look at the pitch data on that, it was a direct line across the plate. Way up and in, and then the other five pitches were a line away from him. Anyway, I thought Contreras was going to come through if he would have really gotten anything to hit. Although I guess the pitch to hit was the pitch that Fermin stole second base on. But once that happened, I bet Contreras, if he had the lie detector on, was a little upset about the way that inning went. Or let me just say that at bat. Because remember, Fermin was at first, and there was a ball in the dirt. The second pitch was in the dirt. And Wilson gave him the go, go, go right away. Like, if he would have got a perfect jump, he would have been able to get to second base, I think, safely. And Wilson had a little body language that was like, ah, man, like, you should be in scoring position. But then the pitch that he could have potentially drilled, he saw how good of a jump Fermin got to take second. But I also think he was a little bit perturbed because he's like, I probably could have hit that one to win the game without anybody on base. Like, I could have hit that one out. But he knew he couldn't swing at it because he wanted to get his guy to second base. And so you could even see from him there, maybe it was just excited body language that Fermin stole the base and now he's in scoring position. But it also, I think, was a little bit like, if he would have done that on the previous pitch, I could have just won the game. Just a little frustration there perhaps as well. But the fact that he was still able to talk, I mean, you can look at, you know, Buckner was terrible yesterday. We know that. But this one was almost middle-middle. It was a little bit lower than middle-middle, but it was in the strike zone, and they called that one a ball because I think he just got confused. He forgot he has to call a pitch when there's a stolen base attempt. Like, that's basic stuff for umpires. And when he doesn't make a strike signal, Contreras, I think, picked up on that there was none given. He's like, well, you didn't say strike, so it's a ball, right? And umpires, they can't go, oh, I made a mistake. It was obviously a strike. I just forgot to call it, because then You players can go, no, you can't do that. You can't. So the umpire just has to go, no, I called the ball. Yeah, it's a ball. I didn't raise my arm, did I? So it's a ball. That's the way umpires have to do it, because that's the way their recourse system works. There is none as long as they play dumb and continue to insist that they didn't do anything wrong. Worked out in Contreras' favor that time. But at that point, I think it was like, okay, now it's a 2-1 count. He's probably going to walk. Up and in, the whiff. Okay, so now Contreras on the... I know we're breaking down one AB more than we need to. This wasn't even the biggest AB of the game, but it kind of was an important one if you think about it. Kopech dots him up in the upper in corner, 100 miles per hour. Contreras swings at it because he's a little jumpy probably after knowing that the pitch he just saw was the one he could have hammered. And this was in the strike zone, but it's just a beautiful pitch up and in at 100. You're not doing anything with that. And so he swings through it. Now there's two strikes, but even then you could tell that Kopech did not want to feed anything, didn't want to make a mistake over the heart of the plate to Contreras. Ball 3 and 4 are off the plate away to bring up Goldschmidt, which they're fine to do. I think they're happy to do it with the way that he's been struggling. So he ends up grounding out, and that is it for the ninth inning, and the Cardinals end up losing it in the 10th, 3 or 4 hours later, whatever it ended up being. Sorry about the Buckner thing. Sorry about the tweet, everybody. And I was wrong. and it'll happen again. And I'll try to not let it happen today. It'll happen again. Just hopefully not soon, right? But Buckner, let him have it. Sound off in the comments about umpires, CB Buckner, Angel Hernandez, all of them, because it's terrible. MLB has to do something about it, but we know that they will not, because I don't think they care. I don't think they think it's a problem. And if you don't like that statement from me, prove that they do think it's a problem. Prove where they've prioritized it and bothered to go up against the union and pick that fight, because they really just haven't. They don't pick that fight because they know it would be a fight. But at the end of the day, there should be some recourse. There should be some level of personal accountability for these umpires, but they don't have it. So Cardinals lose at 6-5. Libertor going on Sunday, and if they don't win the game, they lose the series to the lowly White Sox, who entered this weekend with only one win on the season in road games. Pretty bad. With the home run from Arenado, though, we can talk about something good before we get out of here. Does that mean the Cardinals are now tied again with the White Sox and homers? Yeah, tied for last. So first team to homer today on Sunday ends up taking the lead, getting out of the basement for MLB home run total. Both have 22 on the season, both teams. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of B-Shape Daily. Thank you guys so much for bearing with me. Like I said last night, I wasn't able to do the show overnight like I normally do. Hopefully people still watch this, but I promised people I would put an episode out in the morning. So even if only 12 of you watch it, at least I kept my word. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on B-Shape Daily. Peace.
Not even close.
You got to be kidding me.